Roger the other day for all you ladies, because you need to know all this stuff. And Roger was good, okay? All right, born January 13, 2015, 9:51 p.m. All right, look at this, 4 pounds, 7.7 ounces. He's that detail. I like that, okay? All right, 18 inches long. And how's he doing today, Roger?
Doing well.
He is still in the NICU unit over at Henrico Doctors Hospital, and doing well, breathing, still on oxygen.
Last night he was not off oxygen.
Took him off the oxygen. He's doing well, improving. Going to be there until he reaches all the different milestones that the doctors say, okay, you can take him home. Yeah. But he's doing well. Monique's doing well too. And you know, you just see this kind of glow coming from Martin sitting over there, right? So we are just so happy for you guys. And we are waiting on one more. And I think that Charity told me that they're going to induce her on what day, like the 20th or 21st? Wednesday? Okay, so please continue to keep Charity in your prayers and all that. But wow, all these babies. All right. We began last week a new study called Crazy Love. And this study is all about getting to know God in relationship. And not only just in relationship, but it's learning to love God and His creation, to love one another from the heart. It's all about a relationship with God. We started last week in this study, and we were talking about getting to know God, first of all. We're going to learn to love Him. We got to know who He is. And last week we were focusing mainly on the whole idea of, you know, the fact that God is the creator of the universe. And, without Him, you know, we're nothing, okay? In fact, not only is He the creator of the universe, but compared to Him, okay, what did we see last week? We are worthless. Okay? We're worthless. Outside of God, we're nothing.
Man.
You say? And the whole idea of this is, before we can really truly love God for who He is, we've got to know who He is. Because sometimes, you know, people kind of get themselves in the wrong place with God because they don't really understand and know who God is. And so what that also means is that we need to be put in our place, you say, in terms of, you know, who we are when it comes to God. So this morning, as we continue this part of our study, we want to talk a little bit more about God just from the standpoint of, you know, who is He in terms of His identity? You know, it's one thing to know that and to accept and say, well, yeah, God's the creator of the universe. Isn't that cool? What an awesome God we have. And as we saw last week, what an amazingly awesome world that God created for us to live in. But this question still remains, who is He? Okay? And so we want to talk this morning some about these questions. What is He really like? Okay? Beyond being the creator of the universe, what is God really like? And what are the characteristics and the attributes of God? So when we talk about God in terms of what does He look like, not physically, because He's a spiritual being, but what does He look like characteristically? Say? And then what does that have to do with our relationship with Him? In other words, when we really get to know God, it answers the question, why does He deserve our worship and our love and our obedience? And until we really begin to understand God in all of His majesty, I don't think we're really going to love Him and worship Him and obey Him the way He really deserves. And so that's part of what our study is all about this morning. Okay? You see, there are a lot of people who have this kind of a philosophy. God is whoever you believe Him to be. And so everybody just kind of makes up their own God and their own attributes of who God is to them, so to speak. Well, you know, that kind of a philosophy, that kind of an idea is both naive and arrogant, if you really stop and think about it. It's naive because it shows a lack of wisdom and judgment, a real understanding of anything about who God really is. And it's arrogant because what it says is that those people feel like that they're important enough to decide who God is and who He isn't. And so we find people that say things like, for instance, well, my God is this, or my God would never do this, or my, you know. God is not up to us to make up who He is, or to redefine, or to define who He is. That has already been done, you say. And so we can think of ourselves in this kind of way, like, I'm a big deal, and so God is there for me, but no. He's not. God is the creator of the universe. So when did the created then get to decide who the creator is? That happens when we think more highly of ourselves than we should. And we don't think of God as highly as we should. Then we feel free to start making God into who we want Him to be. Okay? But we don't get to decide who He is. He's already, that's already been decided. God, as we saw last week, made it very clear to Moses when Moses asked Him, who should I say it is that sent me? He said, I am who I am. Amen. That's who God is. And you need to understand that statement, that name of God, because that's what it is. What is His name? He says, I am. Not I was, not I will be, but I am. And all of the characteristics and attributes of God exist in I am. You see? That's why that statement is so important. That's why it's the name of God. Okay? He's already told us and revealed Himself as to who He is to us. All we have to do is decide whether or not we're going to accept Him as He is, or we're going to reject Him. And God has given everyone that choice. But it's a choice that we have to actively make, to accept God as He is and not try to remake Him the way we want Him to be. Probably everybody in here has heard one time or another the whole idea of being a character witness, right? A character witness is generally somebody who goes into court and testifies on behalf of another person, okay? So I want this morning to be a character witness for God, if you will allow me to, okay? I want to testify as to God's character. I want us this morning to look at what does the Bible say about God's character, about who He really is. You see? And the attributes that the Bible gives to God. It answers this question. Who is God? Beyond being the creator of the universe, which is awesome in itself, as we saw last week, beyond that, who is God? What does the Bible really tell us about His nature, His character? Okay? Well, we start out with the text that was read for us this morning as we begin. Holy, holy, holy. Okay? We need to understand what that is all about. Revelation chapter 4. Those creatures are proclaiming, they're never stopping, it says, proclaiming, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. He is holy, holy, holy. Now, what we need to understand is that word holy, what does it really mean? Well, it means to be set apart. Okay? And in the case of God, it means He is set apart from everything and everyone else. Now, here's the really interesting thing about it, okay? To say that God is holy is one thing, all right? But to say that He is holy, 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 takes it to a whole nother level. And here's why. The Israelites, they believed that whenever you said something three times, then that really meant that it was perfect. Okay? Or complete. So to say that God is not just holy, but that he is holy, 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 to say, what that said to them is that he is perfectly or completely set apart with no equal. In other words, God being holy, 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 stands alone in the universe.
Amen.
You see, there is no other being, there is nothing in the whole universe that can compare with God.
Amen.
He is completely set apart from everything else in all creation. Isn't it wonderful to be able to worship a God and to know that we have a God,
amen,
who is so far above everything else and set apart, amen, that nothing can compete with him? You see? Here's what Isaiah wrote concerning this holy God that we have. Who will you compare me to? Or who is my equal? You say, who is my equal? Asks the Holy One. I look up and see, who created these? Who brings out the starry host by number? He calls all of them by name. Because of his great power and strength, not one of them is missing. That's the kind of holy God that we have. He has no equal in the universe. Okay? Here's a really great thing about it. In all that holiness that God has, he wants to share it with us. He wants us to share in his holiness. Isn't that cool? What an awesome God who stands unparalleled, unequaled in all the universe. And he says to us, his creation, I want you to share in my holiness.
Amen.
He doesn't have to do that. But he chooses to. Why? It's because of this crazy love thing that he has, you see? It's because of his crazy love for us. And he says, I want you to share in this holiness that I have. I want you to be set apart with me. You see? The writer of Hebrews in chapter 12 and verse 10. God disciplines us for our good, that we might share in his holiness.
Amen.
You see? Yeah. And over in chapter 12, verse 14, he says, make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Why?
Amen.
Because without holiness, no one will see the Lord. That's how much God wants us to share in his holiness.
Amen.
You see? Because he wants us to see him, to be with him. And so he calls upon us, not just to acknowledge him as holy, 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 but to share in his holiness, to be set apart with him, for his purposes. Okay? Second attribute of God is that he is eternal. You know, some people write love letters, and this is how they would end that letter, eternally yours. Isn't that really kind of a cool sentiment? And I think if God were writing a letter, a personal letter to you, that's how he would sign it. You say, eternally yours. Because what that sentiment means is, I'm eternal, and our relationship, I want it to be eternal. You say, you see, what we have to understand about God, another vitally important attribute, is that God does not share our time, space, continuum. He doesn't live in that. He's not restrained by that. He is eternal as a being. In other words, he always has been, and he always will be. You see? You and I, as we talked about last week, we mentioned, we're created beings. Every single one of us has a beginning. And physically, we will have an end. But we also will live on eternally. And what God wants us to do, we'll talk about a little bit more in just a moment, He wants us to share that eternity with Him. But we need to understand the eternal nature of God. You see? That He always has existed and He always will exist. Okay? You notice here what the psalmist writes about God, and I've got to get a little bit closer because I can't read that screen very well from here. But in the beginning it says, "You laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands. They will perish, but you remain." Okay? They will perish. They'll all of this stuff, this creation that we talked about last week, we saw that God gave to us, all of that is going to be gone at some point, but God will remain forever. You see? Because He is eternal. For this is what the High and Lofty One says. He who lives, how long?
Forever.
How long is forever, by the way? Yeah. It's forever. It never ends. You see? He lives forever and will never come to an end. That means all of the attributes of God, all of His nature, will never cease to exist. Okay? Notice that the writer of Hebrews, when he is comparing the priesthood of Jesus to the priesthood under the Mosaic Law, Hebrews chapter 7, look at what he says. First, about those high priests under the law of Moses. He says, "Now there have been many of those priests since death," okay, "prevented them from continuing in office." In other words, they're human and they died from time to time. So there always had to be a replacement for them because they died. But look at what he says. "But because Jesus lives," how long? There's that word again. Forever. He has a permanent priesthood. How long is God going to exist? Forever. Because He is eternal. You see? He invites us then, as I said a moment ago, to share in His eternity. In other words, God doesn't create us, He hasn't created us just to exist in this world for a very short time, which is really, in the big scheme of things, that's all it is. James says it's what? It's a vapor, a mist. That's all your life is. But God did not create us to just live for that misty moment, so to speak. He created us physically, but with a spiritual soul that will live forever. He invites us to live with Him and to share in His eternity. Look at what Jesus says to the woman at the well, the woman of Samaria. When she comes there and He asks her for water, and there's this discussion, you see, between the two of them. How is it that you, a Jew, could ask me, a Samaritan woman, for something to drink? And Jesus, in this discussion, says to her, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But anyone who drinks of the water that I give him, that water will well up into him as a well springing to what?
Eternal life.
Amen.
Eternal life. See? In John chapter 6, Jesus talking about Himself and offering Himself as the bread of life. Well, we just celebrated a few moments ago. Look at what He says. "I am the living bread which come down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he'll do what? Live forever." God is inviting us to share in His eternity. Okay? John declares for us, the world and its desires, all of this creation, as we said a moment ago, that we see around us, is going to pass away. At some point in time, it's all going to be gone. But what? The man who does the will of God lives forever. Why? Because God designed it so that you and I can share in His eternity. Live with Him. How long?
Forever.
You see? And that forever will never end. You see? Well, another attribute of God has to do with, you know, what do you know? How many of you remember this fellow? Okay, Bo Jackson. All right. There was an ad campaign by Nike back in 89 and 90, I think it was, where they were selling these what they call cross trainers. And Bo Jackson, for those of you who don't know, Bo Jackson played both baseball and football in the same season.
Right.
First person to ever do that. And so Nike kind of jumped on that, and they said, you know, use this idea. Bo knows baseball, and Bo knows football. And before long, Bo then started knowing all kinds of things, you see?
Yeah.
And they started giving Bo credit for knowing everything out there. In fact, I guess maybe some of you ever bought a t-shirt like this. Bo knows everything, you see? Well, you know what? God knows a whole lot more than Bo does, okay? All right, he knows a whole lot more than Bo does. In fact, look at what the psalmist writes about God. Psalm 139, if you've never read that psalm or really spent some time, I want to encourage you, open up Psalm 139 and just read through it. And that will tell you how much God really knows, especially how much he knows about you. See? And just look at what he says. Lord, you have searched me and you know me. How well does he know me? You know when I sit and when I stand or when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going and my lying down. You are familiar with all of my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know the whole of it. Okay? You hem me in, behind and before me. You have laid your hand upon me. Look at this last statement. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Who can have the knowledge that God has? Okay. It's too wonderful for us to be able to attain that kind of knowledge. But that's the God that we serve. You see? That's the God who is chasing after us with this crazy love that he has, that knows us intimately. Now, here's the thing you got to understand about that. Since he knows you intimately, he knows when you stand and when you sit, he knows when you go, when you come, he knows when you lie down to sleep, he knows every thought within you, he knows, listen to me, every sin you've ever committed.
Amen.
He knows every sin that you still struggle with in your life, and yet he still has crazy love for you.
Amen.
Wow. What an awesome, awesome God. And by the way, since he knows everything, you can't hide anything from him. You say, you can't hide anything from him. The writer of Hebrews tells us here, you say, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Okay? Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him for whom we must give account. He already knows. You say, I can't remember what I ate for breakfast yesterday. But God knows everything about me. That's how much more knowledge he has than we do. You see? He knows us intimately. And he invites us to get to know him. That's one of the really cool attributes of this God who has this crazy love about us. All of these attributes he has, he invites us to share with him. And this one is no exception. He invites us to get to know him. Okay? Jesus, when he prayed before he went to the cross, he prayed to his Father and he said, "This is life eternal. That they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." That's eternal life. You see, again, we've already talked about him inviting us into share eternity with him. He says, this is how you do it. Get to know him. And he invites us to do that. You see? Paul to the church in Ephesus said this, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Why? So that you may know Him better. Know Him better. You say, well, but I already know God. Well, you can know Him better. You see, the reality is you can never know God well enough. Not this side of heaven. You see? And so Paul, I think, is expressing this desire as he prays on our behalf, I believe. As he's expressing this, that we too would get to know God better. As he calls us and invites us to do. Paul says, I want to know Christ. I want to know Him. And I want, not only that, but I want to know the power of His resurrection. And I want to know the fellowship of sharing, yes, even in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death. And by the way, we need to understand that the word that is used here in all these passages for knowing God is the Greek word gnosko, and it doesn't indicate, it doesn't mean intellectual acknowledgement of God. It means to know in relationship with Him. And that's what God is inviting us into. He invites us to know Him in a relationship. Why? Because again, it's this crazy love that He has for this creation that is fallen, that is sinful, and yet He loves us anyway. That's crazy. But that's God. Isn't that wonderful? That's God. It's crazy, crazy love.
Amen.
And then finally, we talk about the power of God. You know? And power is something that we human beings, you know, we like power, don't we? You know? In fact, our lives, in a lot of ways, we focus and center on power and control. We don't like to be out of control. We like to be in control of whatever's going on in our lives. You see? In fact, our life struggle seems to be for power and control. We find ourselves struggling with that constantly if we're really honest with ourselves, don't we? You see? Because we don't like to have things out of our control. I mean, I admit, I am the worst, probably the absolute worst passenger in a vehicle at all. Just ask my wife. And she would probably say to you, I don't know, because you never let me drive. Okay, why is that? Because if I'm not driving, I'm not in control. You see? It's not that she's a bad driver, it's that I'm not in control. And I struggle with that. I'm just telling you, that's the way it is. That's the truth, okay? We struggle with this whole idea of power and control. I struggle with it. What we really have to come to a point of understanding, you see, we don't want to be seen as weak. What we got to do is understand that the only true power in the universe is God's. He's the only one that has true power. We try to control our own little world, don't we? But the reality is we don't have any control over anything. I mean, just think about it a second. How many people are in control of their cars driving down the road and still have accidents? Okay? So how much in control are we really?
None.
Yeah, absolutely none. God is the one who is in control. He is the one who has the true power in this world. Even Satan knows that. You see? Satan acknowledges God's power over him. Thought he could conquer God, but realized and found out, no, can't do that. You see? So if Satan can acknowledge God's power as the true power in the universe, why can't we? You see? Why can't we let go of our quest for power and control and let God have it, because it belongs to Him? Look at what Moses wrote in Deuteronomy. You were shown these things so that what? You might know that He is God. Okay? And beside Him, there is no other. Goes back to what we said at the beginning. He has no equal. He is holy, holy, holy. And there is no other one that can stand against Him. Psalmist writes in 115 verse 3, our God is in heaven, and, you know, contrary to what we might think and what we like or don't like sometimes, look at what he says. He does whatever he pleases.
Amen.
Why? Because he's God. That's why. He does whatever he pleases. Look at what Paul wrote to the church in Colossae. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, talking about Jesus, he says, for by him all things were created in heaven and on earth. Okay, what all does that include? When he says all things, how much does that include?
All
things, everything. So there's nothing that has been created, John says in John chapter 1, nothing that has been created without him. You see? So he created all things. All right? Look at what he says. Those things that are visible, those things that are invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created. Look at this. Through him and for him. They were created by him, through him, and for him. Now, why is that so important for us to understand? Well, because I think sometimes we live as if God were created for us. You know, to take care of all of our wants and wishes and so forth. That God was put here in this world to make us happy. And so then, therefore, it's as if he's supposed to do what we want him to do. So often then we go to God in prayer and we're thinking that we're doing the right thing, but yet we demand that God answer our prayers our way and do what we want him to do. And we forget that this whole world, this whole universe that we live in, that God created for us to live in, was created by him and for him, not the other way around.
Amen.
We need to keep that in mind, so that we keep a proper perspective, again, like we talked about last week, as to who he is and who we are. We live and exist for him, not for us. You see? Everything, Paul says, was created by him and for him. And everything includes us.
Amen.
Okay? Everything includes us. We were created, again, now, by him.
By him and for him.
And for him. But yet, having said that, again, he invites us to share in his power. Yeah. One of these attributes of God, that he is the all-powerful, and yet he invites us, his creation, to share in the power that he has. Why? I've already told you the answer to that a couple of times. Because of this crazy love that he has for us. He says, look, I created all of this for me, but I want to share with you. Why? Because I love you. Because I love you. Again, the Apostle Paul in Ephesians. Now to him who is able to do how much? Immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power, okay? His power that is at work within us. It's not our power, it is his power. But look at how he gives that power to us, to work within us, that we can share in his power in our lives. Okay? To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. God shares his power with us so that we can live in his power.
Amen.
So that means we don't have to go through this life struggling with the stuff we struggle with on our own power.
Right.
Because he shares his power with us.
Yeah.
He did not give us, we have not been given, you see, a spirit of fear or timidity, but a spirit of power and love and self-discipline. Why? Because he shared his power with us. Okay? That's not a power that we can generate on our own. That's true power that comes only from God, that he shares with us as we live in this life. The Apostle Paul found this out from him as he was struggling with, God, you know, if you'll just take away this thorn in my flesh, I don't know what that was, but whatever that physical limitation Paul had, apparently he had the idea that, God, if you can just take this away from me, then I'd be able to do. And God's saying to him, you're missing the point. My grace is sufficient for you.
Amen.
For my power is made perfect in weakness. And you see, his point is this. God's power cannot work in us until we acknowledge and accept and understand our own weakness. That without God, we are nothing.
Yeah. Amen.
You see? And as long as we try to struggle in this life on our own power, then the struggles are just going to get worse and worse. But when we tap into God's power and we accept that which he wants to share with us, then we have his power to help us to overcome whatever it is that we're dealing with in this life. Because God loves us so much with this crazy love that he doesn't want us to struggle with those things. He wants us to share in his power so we can overcome whatever they are. You see, God really does have the whole world in his hands, doesn't he? All of these attributes that describe a God who has everything under control, it is his world. And he's not going to drop you. He truly does have it in his hands. So do not underestimate your God. That's who he is. All of those attributes. And all of those attributes that are him, that define him, and that make him who he is, all of those attributes he wants to share with you. Because he loves you. That's the only reason. Because he loves you. Isn't that crazy? You say it?
Yeah.
It's crazy love. Why? Because he is the great I am. Wow. What an awesome, awesome God. He loves us that much. He wants you to share in his eternity, in his knowledge, in his power, in his love, in relationship with him. And he invites you in. He will not force any of those things upon you, but he invites you to share in all of those. I think probably most everybody in here, at one time or another, you have accepted his invitation into a relationship with him. But I also know that from time to time, our relationships can not go the way that they really need to be going because we don't keep up our end of the bargain. See? So what I'm saying is that there may be some folks here this morning who, as we're talking about these attributes of God and finding out more about who He is, that you realize and look at yourself and say, you know what, I've not been sharing with God in all these things that He wants me to share in. I need to do that. And maybe there's things that are going on in your life that are just causing roadblocks and problems in your relationship with God. I'm here to tell you this morning, let's get rid of those things. Let God, through His power, knock those things out of the way and overcome them so that you can enjoy the relationship that He wants to have with you. And if you're here this morning where you have not given your life to Christ yet, then you need to understand that your sins are separating you from Him, from having a relationship with Him, and they will continue to do so until you give your life to Him. But the great news is that you can do that right now. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make Him Lord of your life and to live in relationship with Him, then call upon Him as your Lord. Repent of the sin in your life that's separating you from Him and have those sins washed away in baptism. You can do that right now, this morning. And we're here to serve you for whatever the need is that you have. Dale will be in the back to receive anyone that, if you'd like to have a private prayer or conversation with him, he'll be back there to receive you. If you'd like to come up and talk to me, then I'll be up here. We're going to stand together and sing a song and use that as a time of invitation. Let's stand together and sing.